Are you still all right for that after having met these guys?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Can I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you to your family who've helped beautifully make the place look really special tonight. Haven't they done a great job, folks? It looks really good. So thank you. Thank you. Kinder, just for those of us who don't know you, just tell us briefly a bit about your family, where you live, that kind of stuff.
Okay, I'm Kinder Pal Jit Singh Kalsi, and my wife Gina, she's a vicar in Hillsborough, which is where we've been. We've been in Sheffield 12 years now, and always been in the Essex area. Two beautiful children, or three actually, because my daughter's in there helping you get dressed, and my surrogate daughter's in there helping as well.
So your family's kind of growing still?
Yes, but like I say, I think now we'll all just look forward to the years of grandchildren.
Great. Kinder, I want to ask you a question now. Before you were a Christian, what was your favourite word?
Oh, gosh, my favourite word. And I think Yorkshire sort of took it out of my vocabulary. It was innit. And geezer. When I came to Sheffield, I was born in Stepney in London. So for me, coming to Sheffield, everyone was a geezer. And when this builder called me love, I was not a happy chappy. You can't call me love. You get your head kicked in London. But yeah, in it, every other word was in it, in it, in it. So thank you after 10, 12 years. I don't say it as much unless you tell me different at the end of this night.
So born in London to family who were born in London, or did your folks?
No, my mum came and dad came here in 66 from India. My dad was born in Delhi. My mum was born in the Punjab. And they came here on Christmas Day with £3 in their pocket. And I was born in the following April. Yeah. But London, we were in Walthamstow for a bit, but most of my life, it was by Heathrow, West London. Southall, if people know, of Little India, was around the corner from where we were in London. So, yes.
Kinder, I'm going to try a bit of language now. So
okay.
you better tell me if I've got this wrong. If I said to you, Satri Akal, does that sound...
Not bad.
I think that's Punjabi, isn't it?
It is, Satri Akal.
What would that mean to you?
It would mean, hello, Satri Akal. So it's one of the words I taught my kids. Because for me, my mum can't speak a lot of English. So growing up, for me, I had to learn. We spoke Indian at home, so school life was quite difficult. And then my dad started speaking more English with us. So I can speak Punjabi, so Sasrikal, Tusi Tikiya, Tusi Ajaya. There are certain words I struggle with. So if I said to you, the pagode bare sonaya, you know, so the pagode tonight were very nice. But if I said to you, Mera Filofax Shelf Thiranta, what two words jump out? Filofax and shelf, because I don't know what a Filofax in Punjabi is. I'm still trying to work that out. So yeah, I can have a conversation with my mum, with my brother, and my family, but my mum can still pick it up from some of the words. So we grew up in a Sikh culture, doing the Sikh rituals. God was always part of it, so it was always Sasrikal to people in that sign of respect. One of the other things you were doing, your elders, you would touch their feet. So it was all about making sure there was respect within the family.
Great. Kinder, I suddenly realised something I should have mentioned at the beginning. You've said you're okay to answer questions from these guys as well.
Absolutely, that's the whole purpose of tonight.
We're going to do this interview in two parts. I've got some questions to ask Kinder, but you might have some questions as well. So while he's talking even now, there's a number there on your mobile. If you text that number and start your message with Real Lives, it will magically come to the computer there, and your question will eventually appear on the screen, and we're going to ask it to Kinder. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So while he's sharing stuff this evening, and you just think, I didn't understand that, Kinder, or what about this? You get a chance to ask him questions as well. You can text it in, and if you've not got your mobile or you've run out of charge, don't worry, because we're going to have a break after a few minutes, and then we're going to send a microphone round so you can ask a question just yourself on a microphone, okay? But if you want to text a question, the number's there. Start it with Real Lives, or you can tweet at Real Lives, and it will come. And if all that's gone over your head, just wait. We'll give you a chance to ask a question on a microphone. Is that all right, Kinder?
That's fabulous. Yeah, yeah.
So you were saying you brought up in a Sikh family.
Totally.
God was very much part of everyday life.
Yep.
When you say God was part of everyday life, in what way?
Imagine the scene. You know, I've got 26 cousins, first cousins, big family. We'd spend a lot of time together. The summer months were all about weddings. Wedding, 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 wedding. So whether it was when we got together as a family, the first thing was, what do you want to say thank you to God for? There were rituals within the growing up. So when you've got a first boy, the first thing you would do is something called a kanpat. So you would get the holy book and you would read it from Friday to Sunday, all the way through, non-stop. So God was always first in the sense of, we need to say thank you, we need to read and work our way through it. So, and that's what I grew up with. We had books, tapes, different ways to help us. We went to the temple for any reason, for a party and food, but God was first and foremost. So when I went to school and started talking about God, it was like, what?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, so for me, it was just natural. My dad, for him, he would say he had to spend 10% of his day with God. So he would spend 2.5 hours a day praying and just sitting with God. So I've watched this growing up, and it was just natural of what it was all about.
How did you find the thought of 2.5 hours a day? That's quite a lot, Kinder.
I tried it. My dad said, do, 5 minutes and work your way up. but I can fall asleep on a pinhead. So it was hard for me. Yeah. I tried, but I love my sleep. Yeah. So it didn't last very long. But.
Now, Kinder, I want to ask you about the weddings, because I know your Saturdays, that was quite interesting. Because you worked, didn't you, on a Saturday? You had a job.
Now, when I left school, I wanted to be a brain surgeon. And now, I tell my wife that, she laughs her head off. Because accident prone, and I've got a shocking memory. So that would have been interesting. But then I got a job in B&Q. I was on a till on a Saturdays, and I ended up spending 17 years with B&Q. And I managed one of their West London stores, or three of them. And Brent Cross, Hayes, and I remember my dad phoning me up saying, Kinder, Saturday, family wedding, 10 o'clock, you need to be there. I was like, Dad, it ain't gonna happen. What do you mean? He says, I'm sorry, family come first, you need to be there. I'm saying, Dad, I've got a shop to run. So it just shows you that at home, the family always came before anything else. And I had to sort of go, sorry, it's not the case. If I could swap, I'd swap, but in the position I was, it just didn't happen. So,
So family, very, very important. So, Kinder, in that case, I need to ask you, because Gina, your wife, is English.
She is.
Now, what was that about? Because presumably, how did you meet and how did that go down?
Once again, imagine the scene. We're in the paint aisle and we've got a paint delivery. And
I'm getting a really romantic sense.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful. We're amongst, imagine, the soft whites and the gloss. Yeah. So I'm looking across the aisle and there's this beautiful gothic punk with short bleached hair with a blue zigzag on the back, putting paint out. And I am this quiet, shy, scared of women bloke, as the manager going, I need to talk to Gina to let her know a few things. And it was at that point, as we started putting paint out, that I started saying, so tell me a bit about yourself. And when I reflect back, it was about, don't ask me how, she never went to church, no Christian background, yet we talked about God. Now I reflect back, because I think because it was part of my natural who it was, I just said, yeah, God was part of that conversation 26 and a half years ago. Lovely. So, but the reaction with the family, so you need to imagine that I was so involved in my community, it was everything. It was that film. The minute I said to my family, I've met Gina and I'm going to marry her. And my mum said, and my dad said, we're supposed to arrange your wedding. And I said, I thought I'd help you out and arrange my own. Now, I remember a scene before I told my mum about Gina, that my mum said to me, we've got a girl to show you and we want to take you there. And so they said, okay, we'll lay it all before God that when we see this girl, she's the right person for you. I was in a bit of a quandary, because obviously I'm going out with Gina, and I can't tell them. So we went to see this girl, and was this beautiful, stunning lady came down the stairs and sat down with me, my auntie, and my mum, and saying, "Kinder, you know, go around the back and have a chat with this lady and see if you want to marry her." I thought, okay, God, you need to intervene big time. What happened? The mum of this girl said, "Can you bring her sister out? Because it's a sister we want to really get married, not this one." The sister was 4'4", little glasses and a moustache. And I was the quiet, shy one, remember? And I went, hold on a minute, I need to, you know, honour the fact that... So I went out, we had half an hour, 45-minute chat with this girl. She just giggled for 45 minutes. And I said, "What do you want to achieve in life?" She went, "Well, peace." And I thought, I don't think I want to spend the rest of my life. And we got home and I said to my mum, "Don't you ever do that for me again." So it worked that I could then say, "Mum, I've arranged my own." She said, "Oh, who from?" "Let me introduce you to Gina." And we just got cut off. The whole family just said, "No, can't happen." Because 25 years ago, if they had accepted it, it was okay for their children to marry English. It was okay for their children to marry out. And they were so protective of the culture, it wasn't going to happen. So I had to say to my parents, "You're getting so much grief. The best thing to do is tell them you've kicked me out." And I remember my dad coming to me and saying, "Kinder, son, there is a key on the end of the table. You are always welcome here." Even though he got so much stick, he still, first and foremost, saw me as his son, rather than, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen?" But I had to move out and start fresh. So weddings all of a sudden were different. My whole community, the head honcho uncle who ran the show, and that's how it works. The week before was, "This is my proud nephew, Kinder, who manages a shop he only works in a shop. What sort of job is that?" All because Gina came on the scene. So a hard time then.
Yeah.
And I lost touch with all of my cousins over that.
Kinder, I just want to kind of come forward a little bit now. These events are called Real Lives, and the idea, one of the things we want to explore is, how does Jesus become real to somebody today?
Okay. Yeah.
I want to ask you, how did that happen for you?
Okay. I ask a lot of questions, a lot of questions. And growing up in the Sikh community, I started saying, if we are true community, if as Sikhs we believe this, what about reincarnation? What about karma? And I started saying to my dad, where does this all fit in? Because if what I do today affects what's going to happen in my next life, I don't know what's in my next life or the previous life. And my dad would say, it's faith. Everything is written. What will be, will be. And I just couldn't cope with saying, surely, if it is all predestined, if it is all written, then why bother? I'll just sit at home. Because for me, it was destined to sit at home for the rest of my life and be a bum, just go out and do. And I couldn't believe that that was God's purpose for us. So I then said, what do I do? I went to Gina and said, Gina, what is your Christian faith about? And she went, I'm not a Christian. I went, can you find out for me? Because I can't get my head around it. She went and spoke to her vicar. Because my family wouldn't marry us, she always wanted to get married in a church. So we got married in this church, and the vicar's wife said, yeah, come along, find out more. So Gina went, found out more, and became a Christian, and is now a vicar in Polycarps in Hillsborough.
Right.
So even before I was a Sikh, before I was a Christian, God was working in my life in helping people work out for themselves what their faith is all about. And I thought, wow, what does it mean for me? I went to the vicar and I said, I want to find out about the Christian faith. What, reincarnation in particular, what does that mean? My daughter was getting baptized at the time, and we'd already had our son baptized. And I remember the vicar saying to me, Kinder, the new vicar, you cannot stand up in church and say the vows that I will bring up your daughter as a Christian, because you're not one. If you want to find out more, come on this. We've got a few courses. Pick one and come along on it. I went for 6-8 weeks. And I apparently now find out that I was the biggest pain ever. Because I was going, what about this? What about that? Why is this? Why is that? And this poor lady who was running the course was apparently stressed every time I walked in the room because she did not know what question I was. But I thank her from the bottom of my heart because it wasn't for her being persistent in saying, let me find out. I don't know the answer. Let me find out. Let me find out. I wouldn't be around today. At the end of the course, I said, what happens now? And the vicar said, it doesn't matter. These other 12 people are now going to get baptized. I said, what's that about? And they said, well, they just get water spread on their heads and they are renewed to say, we have an old life we want to leave behind and we want to follow the way of Jesus. But it's an ongoing process. It's not the end. It's just another marker to say, I for myself am going to choose to find out and be more like Jesus. And I said, well, I want to do that as well. And he went, oh, okay. And this is the date of the baptism. And I remember at the baptism, getting water placed on my head, and then the bishop, who's in charge of the a complete area, placed a hand on my head, he said a prayer, and he sat back down. And it was at that moment that there wasn't 12, 14 of us sitting round. There was just me and God. And God had me in his hand, and he said to me, Kinder, for you, you need to know that you are loved. No matter what you do, no matter how you are, you need to know that I love you unconditionally. And you need to let my people know. The reason I'm sitting here, in all that I do, is I could potentially not have to do anything. Because I know I am loved. But when I look at Jesus and how he lived his life, it's about looking after his people while I'm alive. So for me, Jesus became real at the point of saying, from your point of knowing you loved, go and tell everyone else. So my joy comes out of that point. So from my Sikh culture, it all came to a head because I was doing all these things, these rituals, to earn God's love. To hopefully get a place with him whenever the reincarnation stopped. And then at that point, for me, it was like, that's it. Jesus says, no more reincarnation. You will be resurrected when the time comes forever with God.
That's really interesting, Kinder. So it was a sense of you felt perhaps what you'd grown up with was very much things needed to be done.
Yes.
You need to be doing this, doing this, doing this.
Yep.
I've heard somebody put it this way, that sometimes it's you can sometimes look at other ways of faith and that says, do, whereas with Jesus, he comes and says, done.
Done, absolutely.
So absolutely. It's like a gift.
Yeah. There's something that I'm not a big vocabulary person, hence I think I used to say in it a lot, or always, or, you know. But what I've learned is that Jesus makes it nice and simple, which is why I can follow it.
Yeah.
He says, love God, love your neighbours, and love yourself.
Yeah.
And it was that self bit that I was struggling with. I was trying to earn that love.
Yeah.
And then I was, you know, Sikhs are great hospitality. But actually, that was the missing part. Because I was loved, I can love others, and God loves me.
Let's bring it right up to date, Kinder.
Yep.
How is Jesus real in your life today? What difference does it make? What does it really mean to say that he's real?
I suppose I talk to God a lot. I can't sit like my wife for 20 minutes in the morning and do prayer or I fall asleep. Yeah. And for me, now, I think when I look back at my journey, Jesus just slowly reconnected my family for me. The one thing that was real for me that was missing in my heart was my missing my family. And I remember saying to God, tomorrow I want it sorted on my agenda. Tomorrow, God, why not? I'm following you, why not? It has taken 23 years. 2 years ago, I lost my brother. Just out of the blue, got a text saying, I'm just popping into hospital, Kinder. I'll see you in the morning. Mum phones me at midnight and says, That's it. Thank you very much. So I drive to London. I spend 2.5 weeks down there, and me and my wife led the funeral. And I remember sitting with my cousins and them saying to me, "Kinder, what do you do? Why have we not connected with you? Why have we been cut off?" And I used to say, "Well, your parents wouldn't want me to be near you because they found out I was an evangelist, become a Christian, I would be a bad influence." So I shared with them. For me, I work in schools, I run youth clubs, I do community events, I try and bring community together to love one another. And slowly, and they went, "That's great though, isn't it?" I said, "Well, I try, I love my job, I love what I do." Over those 2.5 weeks, every single one of my cousins has reconnected with Facebook. You are wearing clothes from my cousins.
These.
This is from India, some of these, direct, 2 weeks ago. My Jesus is real in my life because he sought my heart. I just had to be obedient and say, "In your time." Yeah. I have got the best relationship I could have compared to what I had 25 years ago. We chat on Facebook, we talk. Yeah. For me, I'm at peace. I have calm. It's not easy. I would love to have my brother back. Half of you wouldn't have any clothes on. Let me rephrase that. But actually, Jesus for me was real because he saw my heart and said, "I will reconnect and reconcile you back with your family."
Yeah. Okay, Kinder, that's really helpful to hear, but why join the church army as what you call it? What on earth is an evangelist? Just, you better tell us. Some of us might be wondering, what on earth does that look like? Tell us about that.
Right. When I was working at, after B&Q, I went to work for Tesco and Toys R Us. Does anyone work for Toys R Us? Don't work for them. Horrible company. They treat like a robot. But anyway, Tesco, when I finished in Tesco, I remember standing in the aisle and this lady had come to me and said, "Excuse me, I want this shampoo. It's out of stock. It's been out of stock for 3 days. And I said, "I'm sorry, love, but it should be here, but there's a problem with the supplier." And she started screaming at me. And I said, "Hold on a minute. There's people dying in the world, love. 6 months ago, or 16, 20 years ago, we had soap. And now you're moaning about a shampoo." It was at that moment I thought, the customer is not always right. That I thought, I need to get out of retail. And I had a hard time at Toys R Us and nearly Tesco. But I then met someone in my church, and I said to them, "I want to do something different." And they said, "Can you run an arts festival in the community?" I went, "Sounds good to me." So I ran this arts festival. I worked with the schools, the community. I thought, this is fantastic. I love it. And all of a sudden, I got my voice. I loved just sharing with people. And from here came this quiet, shy lad to this loud, in-your-face person just talking about God's love. Someone said to me, "You need to be a church army officer." "What's one of them?" I said, "Go and find out." And what I love about church army is they have one foot in the community that says to people, "Do you know who God is? Get right with God. Find out who Jesus is." I have another foot in the churches and say to the churches, "Please, please, please, don't forget your community. There are things you do in the church the community have no idea about." I'd ask churches to go into betting shops to see how difficult it is. Make yourselves welcoming. I say to the community, try your church out. I apologise, Rick, but I say to the local people, go to your church. If it's boring, come and tell me, and I'll tell the vicar. Because we should be joyful. But actually, in our sadness, the joy should come from God. So we deal with it together. So actually, Church Army is about reaching out to people and sharing about Jesus in a way that isn't Bible bashing, but is in a way that helps and enables people to go, where does Jesus fit in to what I'm about?
Because I guess the truth is, Kinder, there may be perhaps folks here tonight thinking, I just don't really see how this Jesus stuff is relevant to life today. I mean, it's all stuff that happened a long time ago. What's it got to do with life today?
you ever feel alone? Do you ever think, surely this is not what life is about? Do you ever sit there and say, I know Christians, and some of them have not been nasty to me. Some of them have been nasty. Do you sit there and think, I know the church, I know what Christianity is all about, I read it at school? Do you really know? Have you really found out? For me, it's what is the worst that's going to happen? You're going to continue by saying, it's not for me. But what could happen, what could really happen, is that you will come to a point that says, is it that simple? Is it that simple? Following Jesus is difficult in the sense that you have to love others. Running a youth club for 13 to 18 year olds from local gangs and saying to them in the middle of a gang war, Jesus says, love your enemies. It was that stopped the gang war, not me trying to deal with it. Because it's countercultural, it's different. It is, if you're trying to put it in a box that says, until I get all the answers, only then will I find out and follow this Jesus bloke. Even today I get it wrong. Even today I mess up. But there is a point in my journey where I can go back to God and say, I'm sorry, I messed up. And he will say, come home, my son, you are loved. What other beautiful feeling is there in the world than a hug? Now, my daughter isn't here. She's obviously tucked up in the other room. And I was going to embarrass her to bring her to the front and tell you what I have told everyone when I see her. I said, when I'm 100 years old and you are only, you'll be 70, you better give me a hug. Because a hug does so much, says so much, no words. That's what it feels like to follow Jesus. Truly following Jesus comes from that point to then go out, find out. And if you want to, like I say, there's people in the church, someone that's brought you here. The church here at St. John's do lots of different ways. There's a Christianity Explored course, you know, come and talk to me in the coffee break while we're having sweets. But please ask the questions. Please ask the questions.
Kinder, thank you. And on that note, I think what we'll do is we'll take a bit of a break.
Yep.
We promised you could have a chance to ask Kinder some questions yourself. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a 5-minute break. Just on your tables, why not have a little bit of a nap?